Thanks for tuning in and making Res Life a part of your day. Whether this is your first time listening or this is a part of your weekly rhythm, we are glad you're here. If you'd like to connect more throughout the week, check us out at reslife.org, download our app, or follow us on social media. It's time for today's message, so let's dive in.
For we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against persons without bodies, the evil rulers of the unseen world. So the Bible is telling us that our enemy is not a flesh and blood person. It's not your boss. It's not some politician. It's not the person that you might think is your enemy. The Bible says your real enemy is a personality without a body. It's talking about Satan and demons, right? They are real people, but they just don't have physical bodies. It says the evil rulers of the unseen world, those mighty satanic beings, the great evil princes of darkness who rule this world. Now, who's ruling this world? Evil princes of darkness who rule this world. Right? The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, we know positively we're of God. And the whole world around us is under the control or the power of the evil one. So it's telling us that when Jesus came, he came and his message was this: repent, change the way you think, because the kingdom of God is at hand. It's here, it's now, it's available, it's for you. Right? But there's not just the kingdom of God, there is another kingdom. Right? There is a demonic kingdom. What is it? Those mighty satanic beings, those great evil princes of darkness who rule this world, and against a huge number of wicked spirits in the spirit world. So we have a spiritual enemy, the kingdom of God. Jesus said, it's here now. The wonderful thing about the kingdom is it's here and it's coming. All right? The kingdom is here, but it's also coming. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But Satan has a kingdom, right? And he wants to rule people's lives in this world. And your enemy is not a physical person. Your enemy is a demonic force behind that person, right? I was just scrolling through the news this week, it seemed like every place I looked, there were articles about anti-Semitic riots that were going on in some of our colleges around the nation, right? And not even just in colleges. I just want to say something about that anti-Semitic spirit. I mean, it really is an evil spirit. It's not a political view, although it may be that, but the force behind it is an evil spirit. Somebody said to me, oh, it's just, you know, the problems that Israel is having with the Gaza Strip and Hamas. Listen, Ezekiel wrote this 2,600 years ago. Because you've had an ancient hatred. So the hatred of the Jewish people was ancient 2,600 years ago. It has really nothing to do with what's going on in the Gaza Strip. Right? What it has to do with is an evil spirit. Right? That hatred of the Jewish people, the ancient hatred. And you shed the blood of the children of Israel by the power of the sword at the time of their calamity when their iniquity had come to an end. It is in a demonic spirit. Right? Now you say, why would Satan do that? Well, there's a couple of reasons. Number one is God made a promise that the Savior of the world would come through the Jewish people. And because of it, the devil hates the Jewish people. Number two, God still has promises that he has not fulfilled to the Jewish people. And the devil believes that if he can stop God from fulfilling those promises, he can stop God's plan of restoration of the earth. Right? So you are a New Testament Christian, and I just want to remind you, your Savior is Jewish. All the disciples are Jewish. All the authors of the New Testament are Jewish. All your Old Testament heroes are Jewish. Right? And you're going to worship a Jewish Savior. Right? And he's coming again. He is coming back. Every New Testament author talks about his coming again. There are no exceptions. Right? And he's going to set up his kingdom. Right? And this is what he said to his 12 disciples. He said, and you will sit on 12 thrones and judge the 12 tribes of Israel. Right? When Jesus comes back, the number one nation on the face of the earth will not be China or the United States, but it will be Israel. And Jesus is going to rule and reign from Israel. God has promised that. Right? And that's one of the reasons why the devil hates the Jewish people to such a degree. Right? But I want you to understand that he is alive and he is well on planet Earth. Revelation 2 in verse 10 says this, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison. Who's going to throw him into prison? The devil. This is Jesus talking after his resurrection. 1 Thessalonians 2:8. Therefore, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. Who hindered him? Satan hindered him. Jesus said that the thief, he only comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he said, but I've come that you may have life and have it abundantly. Satan, he's coming to steal, to kill, and destroy. John said it this way, for this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy, undo the works of the devil. That's why Jesus came. Now, what God's plan is that today, this is Ephesians 3 and verse 10, that through the church, that's you, that's me, all right? He would show to principalities and powers, that's the devil and evil spirits, right? That we would show what redemption took place. God wants to use you and to me to put the devil in his place. Right? In fact, Jesus said, these signs will follow them that believe in my name. The list begins with they'll cast out demons. It ends with they'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. In Luke 13, in verse 10, and he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years and was bent over and could not or in no way raise herself up. Now, what was the cause? A spirit. Now, the Bible makes a distinction. It says that Jesus healed the sick and he cast out devils. Not every sickness is a demon, but this one was. In fact, Jesus delivers the woman and the synagogue ruler says, hey, you shouldn't come on the Sabbath to be healed. And Jesus said this, so ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day. I want you to know that at times, sickness is caused by an evil spirit. Right? And in Mark's gospel, Jesus comes to the area of the Gadarenes or the Decapolis, this 10-city region. And it says, when he came out of the boat, there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. An unclean spirit. Now, when the Bible talks about an unclean spirit, it's talking about a sexually perverse spirit. Right? Now, how many of you know that we've got some unclean spirits that are manifesting themselves in our society today with this pansexual paganism that is being literally pushed down our throats? We're saying that a man, he can become a woman, and a woman can become a man, giving young children puberty blockers. Listen, if you die 1,000 years from now and they exhume your body, Every cell in your body is either going to be XX, you're a female, or XY, you're a male. Every single cell. Puberty blockers aren't going to change that. What you think in your head is not going to change the reality of who God created you to be. Now listen, in Psalms 139, it says before you were ever born, God had wrote in a book every day of your life. Now listen, God had a plan for every single person. That doesn't mean the person is going to follow their plan, God's plan, but God has a plan, right? And it's never for someone who God created to be a man to become, try to become a woman, or a woman to try to become a man. In Revelation chapter 2, Jesus is speaking. Of course, this is post-resurrection. He's talking to one of the churches. And he says, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet, and by her teaching she misleads my servants into sexual immorality, into eating of food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling, or she willed not to repent." I want to just say that we love every single person, right? But that does not mean we endorse what they're doing, all right? Jesus said, you should not tolerate, all right? Don't tolerate that. It's wrong, right? And we're living in a society today that tries to tell us there's not a right and a wrong. Listen, there is a right and there is an absolute wrong, right? 1 Corinthians 6, why don't you listen to this? "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." I love this. "And such were some of you." And such were some of you. Listen, those are the things that you've done, right? But listen, that's not who you are, right? Because the Bible says you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God, right? It doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter where you've been or who you've been with. There is forgiveness, there is redemption. You can be sanctified, you can be justified, and you can be adopted into the family of God. But there is a right and there is a wrong. All right. Several years ago, a leading politician, female politician, I will not say so, said this: "Deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs, and structural biases have to be changed." Now listen, Jesus said this: "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away." God said, "My covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that's going forth out of my mouth." Right? What God said is right, is right. And when God says something is wrong, it's wrong. Doesn't matter what you think, what I think, or what anybody else says, right? And what God says is not going to change. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but what I said will not pass away." And we are living literally with a political system that has an agenda today, all right, which is totally antichrist. Totally antichrist. Listen to Acts chapter 13. "And when we had gone through the Isle of Patmos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man." Right? Now, you find this man who is literally a false prophet. This man is demon-possessed, right? And where is he? He is right with the leading political figure of the entire area, right? And what is he trying to do? Well, he tries, the Bible says, to turn the proconsul away from the faith. And I believe we have a lot of political movement today in our country which is trying to turn people away from the faith, right? And we need, as believers, we need to pray, right? We need to vote, right? And some of us need to run for office, all right? Think about it. David was a king. Daniel was actually in a very ungodly government, but yet he arose and was able to have tremendous influence in that government. I think one of the problems we have today is that Christians have just kind of backed away from politics when we need to be praying, voting, and jumping in to politics. Now, when it comes to dealing with the demonic, Jesus said this. He said, this is Mark chapter 16. Right? He said, "These signs will follow those who believe in my name." Now, You could never defeat the devil with your own power. But Jesus has given you his name to use. And he said, he begins a list of what you're going to do when you believe in his name. He said, you will cast out devils. And then the list ends with, you will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now, this is for every believer. This is not for pastors, missionaries, some super Christian. This is for every single believer. We have been given Jesus' name to use. In fact, in John chapter 14, Jesus said this, most assuredly I say to you, that whoever believes in me, the works that I do, will he do also, and even greater works will he do because I go to the Father. Now, here's what we typically think. Well, that's because Jesus was Jesus. Jesus was God. And that's why he did the things that he did. Let me just say this, and I'm going to show you in just a moment in your New Testament. Right? But Jesus did nothing because he was God. The Bible said that he emptied himself of all deity. Right? And what he did as a man anointed by the Holy Ghost. Jesus, speaking of himself, said, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own town among his own relatives. Right? But Jesus said, the works that I do, will you do also, and even greater works, because I go to the Father. But by the way, I'm not really concerned about any of the greater works. Let's just try for the works. Right? Let's just do what Jesus did. Right? And literally what Jesus is saying, he says, don't read your Bible and think, oh, that's God doing that. You need to say, that's Jesus doing that. And Jesus is teaching me what I can do. Jesus is teaching me what I can do. That's how you should see this, all right? Then he goes on, whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, I want you to listen here for a moment to Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Right? Literally, theologians call this the kenosis, that Jesus emptied himself of everything that made him God. Every super ability that he had, he emptied himself of it. And he came and he was found in the form of a human being. Hebrews 2:14, inasmuch as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he, Jesus, likewise partook of the same. He came in a flesh and blood body exactly like yours. He emptied himself of all of his innate deity. Jesus did not come out of the womb in the manger speaking Hebrew. He had to learn. He had to learn to feed himself. Right? He had to learn everything. All of his supernatural ability, everything he had as God, he left behind. And being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth. So that's three worlds. In heaven, for God is. On earth, that's where we are. And under the earth, that's the demonic realm. In all three worlds, Jesus' name is above every name. Every name needs to submit. Depression needs to submit to Jesus' name. Addiction needs to submit to Jesus' name. Jesus' name is higher than cancer, and cancer has to submit to Jesus' name. Every sickness, every disease, every addiction, everything needs to submit to Jesus' name. That's why the Bible says in 1 John 3, verse 23, and this is his commandment, that we love one another and believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says believe in his name, right? Believe in the name. That's the name you've been given. What most of us want is we don't want to believe in the name. We want to believe in Jesus. But that's not what the Bible says to do. The Bible says to believe in the name What's the difference? Well, to believe in Jesus is to believe, well, if Jesus would come and touch me, I'll be healed. That's to believe in Jesus. To believe in his name is, I rebuke this sickness in Jesus' name, and it has to leave. That's the difference. And it's a world of difference. It's a world of difference. The Bible tells us, believe in that name, that every name in heaven, on earth, and under the earth has to bow to Jesus' name, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, right? Every knee has to bow, but the day will come when every tongue will confess, right? Every tongue, Jesus is coming back, right? You know that. Every author talks about it, every New Testament author. In Psalms 110, that gives us the description. The Lord's at your right hand, and he, this is Jesus, will execute kings in the day of his wrath. He will judge among the nations. He'll fill the place with dead bodies, and he will execute the heads of many countries. Now, that's Jesus returning. And when he returns, the Bible says, he comes to rule with a rod of iron as King of kings and Lord of lords. Now, the Bible says he will execute the heads of many countries. I would not want to be a politician making dumb laws. All right? About what marriage is. And about all, the list goes on. Right? Jesus will fill the place with dead bodies when he comes back. Right? You say, what? The first time he came as a suffering servant. But the next time he comes, he's coming to enforce the kingdom. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and verse 9. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9, resist him, steadfast in the faith. Right? The Bible says to be vigilant. It literally means this, get this. It means to pre-plan resistance. Right? Pre-plan resistance. I'm not even going to ask. Hey, if you've got some teenagers in the back seat of a car, if you don't have a plan, hormones are going to win. All right? You got to have a plan. Now, the Bible literally tells us we need to pre-plan our resistance. What does the devil do? He comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And you've decided beforehand, I'm resisting. Right? In fact, it means to resist, but it means to resist, listen, full on. It's actually, one of the meanings here is to build a barricade. Right? You are ready for the enemy. You are not waiting. You are not going to be surprised. Right? You are going to be vigilant. And he says, it comes to devour. One of the Greek definitions is literally to slurp. How many of you ever had a popsicle? See, here's what it's saying. It's saying he's not going to take you down all at once. Right? But he means to take you down to the stick. Right? He's going to keep coming back in God. It's a process. Right? And he will not quit until it's done. Right? Until he feels like he has destroyed, come to kill, steal, and destroy. Listen, it's easier to keep him out than it is to get him out. You understand that? It's a lot easier to keep him out than it is to get him out. But he goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. In other words, he may not just grab whoever he wants. But who does the devil devour? Number one, ignorant people. People who do not acknowledge his existence right? People who act as if the devil does not resist. The Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. When's the last time you resisted? See, if you are not actively resisting, he's slurping. He's after you. He's coming in. He's taking the blessings that God wants in your life. Right? So it's easier to keep him out than to get him out. All right? And we aren't, the Bible does not suggest that you resist the devil. Right? It commands you to resist the devil. Right? To stand against him. It is just not a suggestion. Now, I really, really want to get this in your spirit. So I'm going to say something here. Let's go to 2 Peter first. First chapter, second verse. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God in our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? I want you to understand that God does not have certain people that are like his pets. Like, oh, that's them. We're just going to do it for them. Right? The way that grace, that peace is multiplied to you is through the knowledge. Right? You need to know what Jesus has purchased for you in his death, burial, and resurrection. It says, as his divine power has given to us. It's not something God is going to do. It's something God has already done. As his divine power has given, past tense, all things that pertain to life, that's your natural life, and godliness, that's your spiritual life, through the knowledge of him. How are you going to receive the blessings that Jesus purchased for you? Through the knowledge of him. You cannot believe God for what you do not know. That's why it is so important that we spend time in the Word of God. That's why Jesus said, Mark 4:24, he said, be careful what you're hearing. Be careful what you are hearing. I just want to say this. If you're going to some church or some place where they're telling you that God no longer heals, no longer delivers, that God is no longer moving in the earth today, get out of there. He said, be careful what you're hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue, knowledge, power that comes back to you. Right? It's not just hearing something once. It's meditating it. It's getting it down on the inside of us. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night that you may observe to do. Right? The purpose of meditation is to get it on the inside of you where you see yourself doing it, and then when the occasion shows up, you do it, that you may observe to do. Right? A lot of people think all Christianity is believing some things. No, it's believing those things and it's doing them. Right? It's do, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. So, last thought. All right. Jesus died for you. I think all of us understand that. He was our substitute. Right? Barabbas, the thief, the insurrectionist, was going to be crucified. Jesus took his place. Substitution. All right? Jesus died for you. But the Bible says that Jesus died as you. That in God's eyes, it was not Jesus on that cross. It was you. Galatians 2:20, Paul said, my old man was crucified with Christ. You were at that cross. You were there. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 says this. It says, we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. All died. You died on that cross. Just like the first Adam, he sinned and you sinned in him. When Jesus went to the cross, he took you to the cross. The same way that Adam took you into sin, Jesus took you to the cross and paid for that sin. Substitution, he died for you. Identification, he died as you. Adoption is this. Listen, that God wants to treat you exactly as if you were Jesus. The Bible says this in Romans. It says that Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren. Well, if there's a firstborn, there's a second, third, a fourth, and a fifth. And I've got good news for you. Your name's in there somewhere. You have been adopted into the family of God. You are a child of God. And Jesus prayed this in John 17. He said that you have loved them exactly as you have loved me. God loves you exactly the same as he loves Jesus. And he wants to do for you exactly the same as he would do for Jesus. But what you receive from God, you receive by faith. And it's through the knowledge of him, through the knowledge of what Jesus did for you in his death, burial, and resurrection. So in the book of Ephesians, when the Apostle Paul prays for us, he prays that we would know the hope of his calling, what God's plan is for us, and what is the exceeding riches of our inheritance in the saints. What is our inheritance? He prays, God, open their eyes so they will know what is the inheritance. What is it Jesus purchased for you and for me in his death, burial, and resurrection? Say, would you bow your heads for just a moment? Again, our culture tells us, hey, good people will go to heaven, bad people will go to hell. But the Bible says something totally different. The Bible says forgiven people go to heaven. You see, the devil, that accuser, will tell you you've done too much, you've gone too far, you missed your chance. But that is a lie. That's a lie. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Do you realize God has never saved one person who deserved it? Not one. So Jesus said this. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father except through me. He's saying all the good things that I could do or you could do could never make us right with God. But he said, what I did at the cross, he said, I took you into myself and I paid for your sins. He said, I'm the only way you can be right with God. So the Bible says, as many as receive him, to them he gives the right to be the children of God. It's not enough to just believe in him, to believe in God, to believe Jesus died and rose again. No, you need to receive him as your King, as your Lord, as your Savior. We're not talking about adding Jesus to your life, but giving Jesus all of your life and receiving him as your King, as your Lord, as your Savior, and living for him every day. So Romans 10, 13, we're going to pray this prayer. This is what the verse says. It says, whosoever, that's you, will call on the name of the Lord. We are going to call on his name the way the Bible shows us to. And then this is the rest of the verse, will be saved. So if you will pray this prayer from your heart and believe the things that we're praying, when we say amen, you're going to be right with God. You're going to be forgiven. You're going to be adopted into his family. So I'm going to ask everybody, would you please pray this prayer out loud from your heart, but make these words your own. Just repeat this. Just say, oh God. Out loud, oh God, I believe that Jesus died on the cross. I believe his blood paid for my sins. And I believe he rose again. He was victorious over death, over sin, and over the devil. And I give him all of my heart and all of my life. I hold nothing back. I receive Jesus as my King, as my Lord, and my Savior, and I am going to live for him. And I thank you, you've heard my prayer, that I am forgiven. My past is gone, and I'm a part of your family today and forever. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Thanks for listening. We hope you've been encouraged by this message. For more information, if you're in need of prayer or just want to connect with the community, go to reslife.org, follow us on social media, or email us anytime at reslife@reslife.org. We hope you have a blessed day, and we will see you again soon.